on the air. Oh, my goodness. What an interesting conversation we had in the break there.
I don't think
talk
we
about
want to
first.
Talk about.
No, no. First-rate depression. Wednesday, February the 9th, 2022, 18 minutes past the hour. Well, I always tell people, the people that... Because clearly the audience doesn't get to meet us right. a whole lot, and they only hear, they get to know us by what they hear on the air. And I always said about you that we don't really talk politics during the breaks. And it's interesting because that last break certainly solidified, that had nothing to do with politics.
No, it didn't.
It was a very depressing conversation.
I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to depress
no, 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 no. It was, but it was, it's also, it was just a...
Medical conversation.
Yeah. I had something I wanted to talk about this hour, and it slipped my mind because you've depressed me so much now.
We're going to go, both of us are going to go out and step in front of an automobile.
My goodness gracious. Well, does anybody know anything about the BMV woman or the Catwoman? 740-383-9944. Let's go back to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Chip. Hey. I'm glad you called. How you doing?
Good.
What's new?
Not good.
Did you get moved?
Yeah.
Good.
What'd you do during the snowstorm?
Me not working.
Oh, you took the days off.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with all that time at home?
Not good. Watch the TV.
Oh, good, good. You seen anything good?
Me watch the wrestling.
Oh, wrestling. You been playing your video games?
No, watching... CC's on YouTube all the time.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you are.
Are you going to root for the Bengals?
I'm going to watch the Rat Baker, too.
There's definitely a lot of him on YouTube, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you going to root for the Bengals on Sunday?
Yeah.
They going to win?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know you're out there, Chip. Keep on listening.
You work at Congress no more?
No, I'm still there. You have to come across town and see me sometime.
Sometime?
Yeah, come on across town.
What time your dice close now?
I think 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock?
I think 10 o'clock.
How you get off?
Most nights by 8.
8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stop over sometime, Chip.
Okay.
Well, good to hear from you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Great day. Bye-bye.
Our celebrity out there, Chip, who works at Kroger South. I think he's there 6 to 10 most nights. Yeah. So go out there, and Chip will bag your groceries
and
even help you to the car. Help you to your car if you need it. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Again, the topics today are any further information on Catwoman or the lady who used to work at the BMV who used to fail a lot of people was what she was kind of known for, I guess. 740-383-9944.
I've got a public service announcement.
Go right ahead. Please do.
If you're out walking, be very careful because, you know, everybody went out and shoveled their walks just fine. But there's a little coating of snow, and then it kind of melted, and now there is a really dangerous coating of ice under all that. And it's supposed to be, I'm not sure, it was 34 degrees this morning when I took the dog out, so there'll be some more melting. And I tell you what, I slipperin' all over the place. It's up to 39 degrees now, so be careful, please. We need you as our audience.
Well, what I was going to say, it just struck back in my brain, and I said it off the air, which got us into that other conversation. But I was so glad you were here last Thursday to do the delays and cancellations and so on, because I think it turned into a real public service for a lot of people, because the next day I was getting messages from people who were saying, you know, my church is not going to have their event on Saturday. So people were starting to send in their stuff, and we became kind of an area where people could have that announced.
I looked at my phone, which is where I put all the you sent them to. It was several pages long of closings that we had there, and that was, I really felt a sense of accomplishment after that day was over, because I really felt that we were doing a very good service for the city of Marion, telling everybody. And I know you get tired of hearing me say, I'm sure you got tired of hearing me say the same places were closed, but people forget we have different audiences every hour that call, that tune us on. So I had to keep giving them updated. But we did. We had a long list by the end of the day.
And we got through.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Tell us how your appointment went yesterday, and did you make it in time to change your clothes? I'll hang up so I can listen.
Okay. Well, here's an interesting story from yesterday.
I want to hear this.
Well, here's what happened. I was telling people yesterday, how did we even get on that topic? I don't even remember how we got on the topic. But, time management. I was talking about how people don't have great time management now.
That's true.
And
ever.
I was saying a lot of times people will say they can't make it to things when they really could. They just don't, because they don't know how to manage their time. And I was saying how I had an appointment scheduled for, I must have said tomorrow. I can't give you any much more any information on the appointment because I haven't had it yet. But what I said was I had an appointment scheduled this week. It's actually for tomorrow that actually comes up right against a job.
Yeah.
So I have to go from one place directly to the appointment, and the appointment told me that I could not wear anything metal. So we can't wear jeans.
Oh, okay.
Can't wear a belt buckle. Can't wear any shirt that would have any metal buttons on it. Well, the job I'm coming from, obviously I'm not going to wear sweatpants to that job. So I've got to get out of those jeans or whatever I'm wearing at the time before I go in for that test. But I've only got like 15 minutes,
yikes.
And I've got a car ride from one place to the next. So somebody said, well, haven't you ever changed your pants in the car?
Oh, don't do that.
Well, something's going to have to be done.
Well,
but it's tomorrow, so I don't have any.
Not while you're driving, though.
Oh, not while I'm driving. No. But I don't know what you do. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but we'll figure it out.
And you only have, it's about a 10-minute drive, if I'm guessing where you're going from.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of when I get off and when I have to be there. So it's not a lot of time.
Now, are you supposed to be there 15 minutes ahead of time?
Yes.
Okay, so
and I'm counting that in.
You're counting that in.
I'm counting that in.
So you get a little bit of stretch time in there, I think.
I hope.
Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Otherwise, well, we ain't going to be doing it because I'm not. I mean, I will take my sweatpants with me tomorrow, obviously, when I go to work, but.
Can you get a little bit of a break from your management letting you leave?
Well, I'm trying to think exactly how quick I can be out of there to get to the other place.
Yeah.
And there might be enough time, but I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe I could go into the restroom at the workplace and change.
Well, you have break times, right? Can't you move the break time to the very end?
I don't know. I don't know if you can do that or not, to be honest.
Huh.
I have no idea.
You'll find out something tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I will find out something tomorrow. But you know what? I'm curious about all these things. I that's the only thing I can tell you about this whole thing, is every day I've had to not be here for, and it's just been tests, but every test I've taken has been fascinating to me. They're just fascinating. I'm interested. Medical research has come so far, and I guess I've never paid attention to it because I really haven't been to a hospital, haven't needed to do any of that. And to watch what these people can do and hear all the stuff that's going on is incredibly fascinating.
When I had my heart attack, I went in, I walked in, and I told them, it feels kind of funny in my chest, and they threw me down on a gurney. But then they start asking you the question once they get you stabilized and after they did what they had to put a stent in and stuff like that. And the lady brings out the little pad and says, when was your last doctor's appointment? Now, mind you, I have three doctors in my family. I said, 58 years ago. She looked at me. No, really, when was your last? That was the last time I had a doctor's appointment. I did have doctors around, so if something, you know, if I was sniveling, or like Dr. Makovsky, who is the father of my wife, would give us a vitamin B12 shot if we were feeling a little down. But yeah, I hadn't seen it. Now I see a doctor every 3-4 months.
Well, I'm just amazed by the advancements.
And
they are based on research that was going on 20, 30 years before. But the advancements in the last 10 years, the things they're doing. Like I told you, the chemotherapy pill, when I found out about that just about a month ago from somebody at Kroger who has had cancer, three different bouts of cancer, by the way, and this person is in their 20s.
Oh, jeez.
I was shocked that there was such a thing as a chemotherapy pill. I had never heard of that. So, boy, that's an advancement.
Well, like I said, I hadn't been to a doctor in 58 years, and it was like I had gone under the horse and buggy, and I showed up, and this was like 7 or 8 years ago, and there's been a lot of changes since then, but I couldn't believe all the things that they had found out about.
Well, and the things that they can do, and I don't know what's causing that warp speed in the medical field, but it's a great thing for people.
Yeah. Now, some of the warp speed isn't like this thing where people were so shocked that we came up with an injection for COVID-19. We did it in a year. No, we didn't do it in a year. It took 17 years to develop that. So there's behind the scenes stuff going on all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that, and I think that's what needs to be paid attention to.
Yeah.
And I think when I was talking with Dr. Yulin last week about COVID and things of that nature, and we just passed the 50-year anniversary of Richard Nixon's war on cancer, that all the stuff that we're seeing now is based upon years and years of study that happened.
And Dr. Yulin isn't a young, spry chick either.
No, he's seen it.
He's what, 80-some years old?
80-something years old.
And so he's seen all that. Can you imagine what a doctor is thinking? An older doctor, let's say a doctor that in his late 70s, early 80s, has seen over their lifetime. My grandfather, who was a doctor, let people bleed with the leeches, and now that's just unimaginable.
Well, have you ever noticed though how people become sort of hypochondriac? What how would you say that as a verb?
Hypochondriac?
Well, I wanted to say hypochondriac-ish.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
That's what I was going for. Because have you noticed if somebody tells you you have something, all of a sudden you start to get the symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I feel that now. And day earlier, you didn't have it.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you got it.
And that's kind of what I do when I have a doctor's appointment. I say to myself, wait a minute, yesterday you didn't care a thing about it. Now you're going in for a runny nose and you think your brain's going to explode.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yeah.
I wonder what what happens in the human brain that causes that.
Well, I think in most cases, I think you're trying to guard yourself against scary news. And doctors sometimes come up with scary news.
Well, I think doctors come up with scary news, but I think, isn't it all based on how you react to it?
Yeah. Now, I'm going in a week from yesterday. I'm going in to have a routine check, but I'm thinking all sorts of bad stuff, right? But, yeah, I think it's all pretty much routine for them. It's not for us, though.
Well, I just think about it in the big picture that what is really the worst that could happen with a medical issue?
Well, you know, they always tell you when you go in, I had cataract surgery, thank you. And they tell you, you know, you could die from this.
Well, yeah.
They don't say it that way. They do it very softly. It's kind of scary because you can die from those things.
But isn't it all relative, I guess, is what I'm saying. I mean, whether it's a heart attack
which I think is still the number one killer in the United States, right. Heart disease, or whether it's a cancer, where a lot of times they'll stage you out and give you a prediction, or COVID, which is certainly on our radar, right? Gosh. We just passed 900,000 people dead. Yep. Okay, but we also have car crashes.
Yep.
We also have things that happen to people in the middle of the night because of diabetes, strokes, so on, hemorrhages, all this stuff. But we never think of those things like we think of heart attacks and cancer and that, because we say, oh my goodness, that's horrible. But in the meantime that you're living, worrying about all this stuff, becoming a hypochondriac, people are dying from other things every day that they didn't even know they had.
I was walking my dog, Buddy, the other night, and because there were so many places that weren't shoveled, I was trying to avoid those places so that we would, the two of us wouldn't fall down. And so I walked out into the street, and a car turned onto my street really fast. Shouldn't have been going so fast. But I leaned over and picked up my dog because I didn't want him to get hit. And we had to stay in the street. Otherwise, I was afraid I was going to slip and fall in front of the car. And I just ducked my head and covered my dog and thought, well, this might be it. If the guy can't control that car, I could be dead right here. And he fortunately got past me. But yeah, things like that could happen to you at the... A safe could fall on your head, you know, when you're walking down the street.
But we don't bemoan those things like we do the illnesses.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Even though it could happen any day.
Yeah, and I think our brain is trying to help us out by not letting us bemoan the idea. But there are people that are scared to death that a safe is going to fall on their heads. I mean, they're a little weird, but there are people like that that are afraid of... that sort of thing. My wife is afraid of just about everything. She's a kind of a hypochondriac.
Well, when you get up in your 90s, when clearly you're not going to have a whole lot of time left, do you start thinking that? Do you start thinking, well...
Yes, you do.
Well, see, I don't know if you do or not.
I do know.
Well, do they bemoan it like others do?
When I hit my 70s, I started thinking a lot more about the end of life. And, I concern myself with it, but I'm hoping it won't.
Woody Allen had a great line.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. I like that line. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you know, I just keyed in on you, and you're kind of weak on your voice coming in, but I think I can get along with getting the message through. Is there something on your end bothering you from me?
Not that I'm aware of.
You sound fine. Yeah.
Well, you both turn weak on the handset here.
We both have doctor's appointments coming up.
That's right.
According to the radio. Why, anyhow, let's get back to the politics, which I'm very, very a greenhorn about. But I've got some emphasis. I'd like to say that people don't touch on that, especially this morning on all your conversation about the mayor.
Okay.
You know, they got families, and... I'm not saying all politicians and all people running for office got families, but these particular people got families, and I've met their family, and that's a reward to me, knowing how to express myself toward the candidate. They got to please their family first. I know they discuss this because they just don't jump in there
right.
And the family don't know nothing about it.
Right.
And the support from the families is a big issue in politics. And coming from a family... And raising a family, I'm saying not everyone, because some people aren't able to do that. But we're just talking about Mayor Schercher in particular. He showed a pretty good track record. I mean, to me, excellent track record. But what I'd like to see in politicians and stuff is not like a program. Let's see their track record, and then you can evaluate what the politics. Either way, however it goes, that don't mean nothing. Let's see the track record. And I think Mayor Schercher has got a terrific track record. He's been through a lot here in the town of Marion, and he's handled it well. Another emphasis on Mayor Schercher, he isn't afraid to come up, and as a feather in your cap, in which I'm putting a lot of feathers in there, you're going to be an Indian chief one of these days. But you know what, Scott? The ability to come on your radio show and the invite that you give everyone at all, and not including a person like me to voice their opinion. And they come on your radio show, and you give the ability for them to express themselves and your questions you ask them. And I think in Marion, it's a terrific thing. But the track record is a pretty good thing. So they can scroll up and say, you know, here's what we've done, here's what you've done, because it's hard to keep track of everything. But they can't. It'd be a long list of everything they do. That's part of their job, naturally. But some of the things they do, and I think the key issue ought to be Phil Amerisearcher immensely, because I think he's done a wonderful job. And referring back to the other, Mayor Kellogg, you know, they had to be good people because they're reelected. And when they're reelected, it isn't something like, well, there's the only ones available. No, it isn't. That's the professionalism and the love and the desire and the ability to create and carry on in their position. I just think it's good. So I just stuff like that on my mind. I think we're into this mode right now, and we want our listeners and everything, like myself, give us as much full support as we can and opinion. I know the mayor hears some of this stuff and everything. It filters back to them. Like you said, Scott, if one person calls in, there's 100 of them listening that don't. So thanks, Scott.
Hey, and thanks for calling.
Hey, Glenn, you're doing a good job, too. Keep jabbing at them, buddy. It's just like a boxer, the old punching bag. It's just hanging there. It likes to get punched once in a while. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, they're very nice words, and we appreciate that. Again, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here, 39 minutes past the hour. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. 740-383-9944.
Are we on the line with somebody else now?
No, no. What happened to you? Did something happen?
Yeah, I just realized my phone was running out of juice, and I had to write down the different things that were going to
talk about.
Oh, I got
worried there. I didn't know what started to happen over there. I thought there was some kind of tragedy broke out.
No, I was supposed to blow my nose when I was over there, and I forgot to. But
so what's going on today with you and Dr. Feynman, well, since we're looking at that right now?
Well, that's the whole thing. I was just pulling it up so that I could write it down, because my phone will forget all this stuff. Let's see. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the book banning, which is going on.
Oh, I think that's an interesting subject.
It's kind of scary, because when I was a kid, when I was younger than you, book banning was almost as bad as saying you're a communist, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if this is book banning like book banning was in those days.
That was book burning back
then.
Well,
they were trying, yeah. But no, this seems to me, at least from what my understanding is they're trying to get rid of things. The wording is inappropriate. Isn't that what they're saying?
No, they're talking about things that they think is inappropriate. They don't want you to be able to read Lord of the Flies, and I read that very young. I mean,
but isn't there some language in that? Isn't that the issue that I keep hearing?
Well, it's about World War III. well, maybe not World War III, but a giant world type.
How
war.
Do you ban a book?
I don't know.
Understand this anyway.
And the problem with that is, if you ban it, when I was a kid, if it was banned, I was going to go buy it.
Okay. Explain this to me. How do you ban a book in 2022? If a kid wants the book, can't he just order it on the internet?
You can go on the internet.
So isn't this much to do about nothing? You know,
I don't know.
Are they burning it from? The school, banning it from? The school curriculum?
I think that's what they're trying to do.
Well,
yes.
There are a lot of books that aren't in the school curriculum.
Yeah, but banning them from the school library, that type of thing, is... I don't like that idea. Mein Kampf was in my school library, and I remember the parents didn't like that, but it was there.
Yeah, but could you... I mean, censorship is such an interesting topic.
Yes, it is.
It always is, because nobody's an absolutist. You can say you're an absolutist,
but
nobody is.
Not right.
Everybody's for banning something. And a lot of times people criticize people because of things that they say, yet we tout free speech. So you know, there was a story the other day, and I'm glad this doesn't have anything to do with politics, but did you see the story that got national attention. Must have been a slow news day, where the husband went in and wanted a cake for his wife's 50th birthday, and he wanted a coffin put on the cake. You know, like you're over the hill, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the baker got offended and would not bake the cake. So the husband left the baker a bad notice, a bad review. And, you know, bad reviews hurt businesses. And it turned into a big thing. And the question is, did the baker have the right not to bake the cake because he didn't want to put a coffin on it?
Well, and did the person have the right to put in a bad notice? I mean...
Well, that's the... See, I did, you know, well, do you think he had the right to not bake the cake?
You know, that's one of those things that's a personal thing. If it's a, there was a similar thing where a person wasn't going to do a gay cake.
A big story a few years ago.
Yeah, and I'm kind of up in the air about that sort of thing. I think if you're a private business, you should be able to say, I'm not going to do that sort of thing. That's me, and I know that's going against my progressive life, but I think I agree with him. And then I also agree with the person who then gets on the internet and says, this jerk won't do my cake, and why, and... you know, he has the right to say that, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but don't you think this is where we get in over our head?
Oh, we're way over.
Why not just, is there not another cake shop in the town you can go get this cake made?
That's true. There probably is.
Why are we so whiny in this society that we have to try to destroy people's businesses just because they won't put a coffin on a cake? Well, okay.
I don't know. We seem to... be really aggressive anymore. We are just very hateful people, and that bothers me.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that if I was the principal or part of the school board that I would ban a book, but it's their prerogative, I guess. I mean, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, I guess.
So who, why?
Well, it is their prerogative.
Send your kid to a different school district, I guess.
Well, but
or get a book on Amazon.
But banning it in a public institution like a school or a library, I think that crosses the line.
See, I don't know, because there's a ton of books that aren't in a library anyway for a ton of reasons.
Because they can't afford them.
Right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, banning books. That reminds me of the book Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Yeah. But can you ban a book?
No, you shouldn't be able to ban a book. If you don't want to sell a book or you don't want people to read the book, don't have
don't
the book
do it.
Around.
Right.
Right, right. So is that really banning a book when a school board says we aren't going to have this book in our library or in our curriculum? Are they really banning the book?
Well, that sounds like they are, yes.
Well, I guess technically, yeah, they're banning the book from the school.
Yeah, from the school. And it's a public school.
They're not banning the kid from reading the book.
It's not stopping the kid from reading the book.
Right.
I mean, that's up to the parents or the kids, whatever. But
see, isn't this a fight that I mean, I love books. I love reading all kinds of books. There's not a book I could even think about banning. But I can tell you this, under the radar, you would not put a book, and I'm trying to say this appropriately on radio, you would not put a book with salacious intent that we all see at the grocery store that they sell at the counters. You wouldn't put that book in a library in a school, but that just goes without saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean...
like a romance novel. You would not put some of these romance novels in a... Is that banning a book?
Well, the books you have in a school should be age-appropriate for the kids in the school.
Well, and I think that's what this is all coming down to. This school district knows that they can't ban these books from these kids if they want them, but... I think they're saying we don't want our kids to read these for whatever. I would have to know the reason. See, here's the problem. Of this story, what do we know? We know they want to ban the book. But we don't know the reason they want to ban the book. We need to know the reason.
Yeah. I mean, what is the book about?
Yeah. Well, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
No, it would be...
That guy with the cake?
Yeah.
If somebody gave me a cake with a coffin on it, I'd be like, what are you thinking?
Well, hey, did you hear the story? Speaking of politics, I don't know where the guy's from. I wish I remembered. It's a big story yesterday. Did you see where the guy, he's running for, gosh, I want to say governor, but I could be wrong. But basically, the story is that he came out before the election and said, listen, I used to be a part of swinger groups. Now, the question is, should this guy be allowed or should he be electable? He was honest about it. I don't know.
There's nothing illegal about swinging.
Yeah. I just wonder if he lives in a swing state.
I know what kind of swinging you're talking about. But no,
you've heard that story, right? If he's in a swing state, he'll be elected. If not, forget it.
You can make that up.
That was good, wasn't it?
Good catch. One for you.
I know, one for me. No, but I mean, should he be allowed to? I don't know.
Well, he should be allowed to.
I'm concerned he should be allowed to. I mean,
he should be allowed to talk about it, but he's not going to get elected because
it's...
still
live in a semi-free country.
Yeah. Semi-free. You can drive any truck you want to. It's a semi-free truck.
I'm trying to look up where
whether
this...
Whether it's got a trailer on it or not.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. If we knew why the books were banned, I guess I would have a better insight into this.
That's the thing. You don't never get the whole story.
Right.
It was a mayor. Oregon mayor.
Oh, okay.
Oregon mayor.
Well, you know... If the government said you can't print that book, now that would truly be book banning. Whereas a school saying we'd prefer not to have that on our shelf doesn't mean it's banning that book. The kids can still bring it in and read it. Now, if you take it away from him and say you can't read it, that's banning it.
Right.
See, like I said, all they got to do is say that book's not age appropriate for these children. Now, if it's a high school, those kids probably know more than what's in that book anyway, depending on what that book's about. See, I still don't know what that book's about.
But you still wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want it on the curriculum, and you wouldn't want them...
No, I wouldn't want a teacher,
but you wouldn't want them to be able to take it out of the school library, because... I don't know. I mean, that's banning a book.
Well, technically, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of gray area there.
See, that's what I'm saying. What is banning a book?
Yeah, that's true.
Just get the book on Amazon if you want to read it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea.
The government truly says, no book. That book, no. That is undoubtedly black and white, man in a book. Anybody else? Lots of gray area there.
That's right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
Well, there were several books. There was a list put out by a organization of all the books that should be banned, and I had read four of them, and I don't read, as you know, but I had read four of them. So, obviously, I'm some sort of weirdo.
I'll tell you what, though, in Marion, if you had a swinging mayor, no.
What?
If a mayor, guy wanted to run for mayor here and said he was a swinger,
not. He'd
be swinging right to the next county.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Call number three for me. slowly. Nowadays, Scott, is that even relevant when you can just read a book online? Most books are available electronically. That's changed the landscape also, but I'm against censorship. So the book has some swear words. You can hear the same thing, when your parents have an argument, or you watch a movie, which you can also watch on Amazon or through a peer-to-peer network. So I hate censorship. Free speech is not, which we have here, and that's one of the great things about this country. I'm sure you would both agree. Free speech is not consistent with censorship. It's not like a parent. It's not like a parent saying to a five-year-old, I don't want you to watch this R-rated movie.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
But the censorship of books, especially when they're so...
But now, wait. Now, why is that different? Now, if you're an Apple absolutist, we can't have cubby holes and say, well... But we all know that you don't do that. You don't show an R-rated movie to a five-year-old child. But it is censorship.
It's a cousin of it, yes, but I do see it as different. Banning Lord of the Flies, the Catcher in the Rye, that's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It gets to Tipper Gore and the record labels. Come on. So there's an F word and a record.
But if you said that F word to a teacher in the school, you would be punished. Is that censorship?
Right.
If you set it outside, you wouldn't.
It's different, though, because you are communicating with that teacher. You're not listening to a song lyric. And I mean, a lot of current song lyrics, they promote violence. I don't like
right,
them. But
it is censorship. That's what I'm saying. Now, people can argue against it and say common sense and all this, but it is censorship. There are rules in this society when it comes to our language that people are not going to... You couldn't take some of these songs into school and play them at a school dance. Is that censorship?
Right.
Well, we've already...
I think it's appropriate. It's appropriateness. It's not appropriate to play that stuff. You want it to be a happy time and... anything can be controversial, but keep the controversy to a minimum.
Well,
they are cousins, Scott, but I don't think them as being the same thing.
And well, I think most people don't. I'm going to let Glenn in here because he has something to say. But here's what I'm going to say. Popular things don't need defending. And keeping a song out of a school dance where the F word is used, that's not hard to do because everybody agrees with that. Not showing a bad movie to a 5-year-old is not hard to do because everybody agrees with it. But taking a book out of a school that some people like or think is a good book, well, that's going to cause controversy because not everybody feels the same way. But they are all censorship, whether you like it or not. And that's why I say nobody's an absolutist. Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
I think it's more filtering than censorship. They are cousins. They are related, certainly. I don't see them as being that similar. And again, you can write a PhD thesis on this. I'm sure people have. But that's how I see it. And I wanted to mention, Glenn, about the cake. I agree with you completely. A private business has a right to turn down what I would call like a special order or a specific client situation.
I think so.
People are making this ridiculous analogy that the baker would not make a cake for the same-sex married couple and they should be punished. No, that's their option. Now, I disagree with it.
Go to another baker.
It's going to give them a lot of publicity, and they'll end up getting more business. And that's also not just an irony, but something they need to think about when reprimanding the company for making that decision. It's not like a same-sex couple being kicked out of Walmart. It is very different.
Yeah.
This is a special order where any business, including my business, I have a right to turn down a client. Now, I wouldn't. I accept clients of all demographics. In fact, I love the fact that my clientele is diverse. You learn something every time you service somebody.
But you know, there is a school of thought here, Adam, that says if you are a business that is open to the public, that is not a private business, and that you are there to serve the public, so you should not pick and choose. Hold on, I'm going to let you in here, because restaurants that were considered private restaurants in the South used to look at your skin color, and that's how you came in or not.
Yeah.
And they said that, no, you can't do that.
It's a special order. I mean, I'm interested in what you have to say, Glenn. Plus, when you do a special order...
Really? We're not stopping so Glenn can talk. Glenn. Glenn, get in here.
Well, because I know Glenn has the more left-wing view than you. I'm not sure what your view is, but Glenn will be...
My view is to just try to straighten this thing out and explain to people that we can't pick and choose. We can't... Censorship is a word that covers a broad base. It's just we're picking and choosing whether people, and they're going, well, that's ridiculous. Well, it's not ridiculous. That is censorship. You can't say, I'm going to kill you. If somebody thinks you really mean that, that's a threat, and the police will come to your house, even if you don't plan to kill them. So that's censorship. That's freedom of speech. You have been violated. But nobody's going to object to that.
Now, let me jump in.
Glenn,
let me jump.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in.
This is like the Super Bowl.
To both of you, Tom Sawyer uses the N-word throughout the book. Should that be censored? And there are schools that have censored Tom Sawyer because of that.
I don't believe so. I don't either. We need to read the... Yeah, and that's interesting, Glenn. Although you seem so liberal to me, you have these views that are... very consistent with mine.
But radio, by the way, the FCC censors that word on radio and television.
it's different when it's being said versus in print. Not to mention that book, Tom Sawyer, 100 years old.
Yeah.
It wasn't in 2022, a different word would have been used. So that's a good point, but that's the difference. In terms of the not allowing someone in due to race, etc., that is not the same. That's not even a cousin. Saying a restaurant saying we don't serve black people is nothing like a bakery saying we won't bake a cake with a coffin or for a wedding of two men, etc. That is a special order artistic item. When you walk into Walmart,
what's the special order? Wasn't the wedding cake just a wedding cake?
No, it's a special order. It's
what's the special order?
Well, they'll still make the cake. They could still make the cake, but not. They might put some other decoration on the front of it. Yeah.
But no, I don't think that couple was saying that. From my understanding, they just wanted a wedding cake.
It's artistic. It's congratulations on your wedding, Joe and Bill, instead of Joe and.
So what if a baker of a private company did not want to bake a cake for an African American couple?
Well, that's where it gets hairy.
That's what I'm saying. It's very difficult.
That is hairy. Yeah. Okay.
But should you be able to do it?
That's a great question. Let me ask Glenn. What do you think?
That means Adam didn't want to answer that question.
You can plead the fifth if you want, but and that's interesting.
I refuse to.
You
plead
and I
the
agree
fifth.
On this. Yeah, you and I agree on this.
I think that should be. That person, it should be made, people should be made aware that a person wants to have a cake. I mean, I really don't know.
Go ahead, can't answer the question.
I will say I'm wearing a Star Trek shirt right now that has the colors of the gay flag on the front of it, and I think I should be allowed to wear that.
I'm just saying, I don't understand the difference. Now, but we would go, hey, wait a second, you're refusing on somebody's color to bake a wedding cake? We would go crazy over that.
I would
that.
Like to hear about it so that I could then never go to that bakery again.
So there you go. Adam, thank you for calling. We want to make sure we can let somebody else get in if they want to quick.
No problem. It's a fascinating study, guys, and thanks for talking about it.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Oh, I can't wait for you and Dr. Feynman to open up with this one.
And we're going
to
talk about it. That's right at the beginning of my question.
740-383-9944. But it all is censorship. Whether you want to admit that or not, it is censorship.
Yep.
And I guess it's just what you're comfortable with. I tend to just leave these things up to the people. You know, if a book is going to be banned, well, what's one of the books that they want to ban?
Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye. Okay, if they want to ban Catcher in the Rye, and you really want your kid to read Catcher in the Rye, order it, give it to them.
Yeah.
Boop.
Well, there's so many schools, that was on the required reading list. Catcher in the Rye and Lord of the Flies were two of them I was required to read.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I'm way, way behind on this blockage between the United States and Canada. I'd like to have an update. I wonder if Glenn would have anything on his part of the show coming up.
I was so confused with it myself that I didn't even put that on my list of things to talk about. So, yeah, it's confusing.
It's an important thing, but you're blocking something from the United States to Canada. I think that's on TV, but I haven't got the expertise from someone. I'm really waiting for that answer. Maybe next week, Scott, maybe you can have it on your program.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, we'll look into that.
Hey, thank you. Here's one thing I want to say in parting, though. A lot of people who were very anti-President Trump felt that banning him from Twitter and social media posts was censorship. And in the grand scheme of things, now people will say he was inciting people, but that's a private company banning somebody for their freedom of speech. Now, is that censorship? You know, it's a very thin line.
It's very close. That company is very close to having the same type of relationship with its public that a newspaper, a radio station, and a television station have, and I think they should be governed by the same rules, and they are not.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting? Facebook. Isn't it interesting that the threat that the president or the what was perceived as a threat? I mean, again, it's all what you perceive it as. The inciting of the violence that the president put on Twitter was reported on by newspapers and television, so they said the same threat. What's the difference? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't believe that censorship banning Trump. they have rules.
Yeah.
And he did, went above and beyond the rules.
Right, but is everybody being upheld to those rules?
Well, if everybody isn't, then he'd have reason to complain.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have rules, you know, that they want the people to follow.
Yeah, I understand,
and
but
he broke the rules. It's not that they come out and say, we don't like Trump. Let's ban him.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I mean, does Twitter have rules?
So long.
Now, which is worse, though? You can put a lie on Twitter, but what was the thing he got banned for? I mean, what was the tweet?
I don't remember.
I mean, I can't...
I don't remember the exact... I don't think there was so much of one example. It was just all combined, and then when the insurrection occurred, that was just enough.
And 35,000 lives.
We gotta get out of here. Thank you for calling. But I do want to say, though, there was a quote one time, and it's not my quote, so don't attribute this to me, but the quote was, always be afraid when they ban something somebody else says, because they could ride around and ban what you say.
True.
So even though you don't like what they say, yours could be on the next, whatever you're saying could be on the next list.
True.
So that's that. And it's all coming up on A Progressive Life right after this. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from